Why don't we pray and then we will talk a little bit and read our Bibles together. God, come to you and we thank you because you are good and kind and loving. And we thank you that we can come together and that we can open your word. We thank you always, but today especially, we thank you for our mothers and for how you have, that has, through them, you show so much grace to us. So now, God, as we open your word together, I pray that you would, through your word, speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I think that we have a, I think we share a bit of a misconception about what it means to obey God. What I think our perception of what it means, if we were to stand up and pass the microphone around, so this is what it means to obey God. I think our perception of what it means to obey God would be incomplete. It would be partial, which is dangerous because if we don't know what it means to obey God, if our perception of what it means to obey God isn't quite there, isn't complete, then even when we think we're obeying Him, we're not going to be obeying Him. It's going to be incomplete. We're going to do things. So what would be our perception of obeying God? I think our perception, our shared perception of obeying God is this. It's doing the right things. It's doing the correct things, even if we have to force ourselves to. It's doing what we're supposed to, whether we want to or not, whether we're happy about it or not. If you think about people who in our minds would be, okay, this is what a successful Christian looks like. This is what it means to really be a Christian that is, you know, faithful to the end, somebody who continues in their Christian faith throughout their whole life. Wouldn't it be a person, wouldn't one of the big things we would put on that list be, they have a lot of willpower. They can grit their teeth and do what they're supposed to do, even when they don't want to. They suffer and they work and they sacrifice. Faced with what they really most would desire, they do what they should, not what they want to do. They're not necessarily happy people, but they're tough. They get through it. They power through. And that's why we feel good about ourselves when we do what we're supposed to do, when we grit our teeth and we say, I may not be happy, but I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. At least I'm doing the right things. So that takes us to a place in our lives where it becomes really easy. I'm going to say easy to obey. I don't mean easy to obey, but it becomes very easy to obey without joy. Gritting our teeth, doing what we have to do, maybe even a little resentful about what we can't do, but we're doing the right thing. And the text we're going to look at, go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And the text we're going to look at would teach us that if that's our definition of obedience, it's very incomplete. It's not all the way there. It's going to teach us that when that is how we obey, we are actually are disobeying God, even when we do the right thing. So Deuteronomy 28, this is a, and so we occasionally are dipping into Deuteronomy. It's Moses' last will and testament, if you will. It's his last big, long speech to the people of Israel. And chapter 28 comes after he's given them just commandment after commandment. He's gone over what God wants them to do. He's put so much emphasis in their obedience to God. He's going to tell them, he's just told them in chapter 27 that when they go into the land of Canaan, they're to set up some rocks and they're to paint them and they're to write on the rocks the words of the law of God so that they won't forget them. He wants them to know what God wants them to do and he wants them to obey. And then he's going to have them, he's not going to be there. He's going to have died already, but he's told them when you go into the land of Canaan, you're to go to two separate facing mountains and half of you are to be over here, half of y'all are to be over here. And then you're going to tell each other the words, these words and their blessings and their curses, the blessings for obeying God and curses for not obeying God. And all the people are to say amen. And they are to repeat and then affirm to each other how bad it's going to be for them if they disobey God and how good it will be for them if they live in obedience to God. All of this is emphasizing the importance of obedience, of doing what God wants. And then at the end, he puts in something that radically changes the definition. Doesn't take anything away. He doesn't tell them you don't have to do the stuff, but he expands. He expands, greatly expands the definition of what it means, what it would mean for them and what it would mean for us to truly obey God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, read verse 47. So this is in the part of the curses. This is what will happen to you if you don't obey God. Verse 47, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness, gladness of heart, because of the abundance of all things, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness, lacking everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. It's a strong warning against the disobedience. And in it, he teaches them and us what it means, what it would mean to truly obey God. They were going to be punished for not serving God with what? Joyfulness and gladness of heart. God's obedience to God, being obedient, doesn't just require the right actions. It's also the right attitude and the right emotions that would go along with those actions. And here we could start to see where we might go astray when we think that obeying is doing the right things, not necessarily feeling the right things, doing the right things. God says the opposite. God says it's obeying with joyfulness and gladness of heart. In other words, obeying without joy is not obeying. Doing the correct actions without the correct attitude is not obeying. Look at what God says, verse 47, read it again. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart. That's what God wants, joyfulness. He wants us to be joyful, glad, he wants us to be happy in him. That means serving because we are happy and being happy because we're able to obey God. It's being happy in God as we obey, as we do the things that God wants us to do. And it's not just slapping on a smile and acting like we're happy on the outside. It's gladness of heart. That means it comes from the inside, that we're really truly happy. That's profound. That adds a whole nother level to our obedience, to what it means to obey God. And then look at verse 48. Therefore, so he's telling them, when you don't serve God in this way, this is what's going to happen to you. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and lacking everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. The price for disobeying God, for not obeying God happily, for not being happy and obeying God is very, very high. It's horrible. It's not only not being able to serve him, but then having to serve their enemies in misery and suffering. The big idea that the big idea I want us to get out of the text today for us is this: being happy is an essential part of obeying God. Being joyful in God is an essential part of obeying God. Our actions, you could say it like this, our actions of obedience are incomplete if they don't go together with joy. Our joy isn't optional in our obedience to God. We have to be happy as we serve God. Our joy completes our obedience. Obedience is doing the right things. It is the actions. It's not the actions. It's doing the right things, but it's doing them and being, it's the attitude we have as we do them. And if you say, maybe that's just a bit of an abnormality, like maybe that's just this is kind of a weirdness that got into the text there. Is that really what God commands us? God repeatedly commands his children to be joyful. This isn't a one-off. Look at Psalms. I'm going to jump around. Easier for me because I have them in my notes. But jump with me if you're able. If not, just make a note and go back to them. Psalm chapter 100, or Psalms 100. That sounds better. Verse 1. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. come into his presence with singing. Serve the Lord. That's a commandment. Okay, keep going. Psalms 32, verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous. Be glad in the Lord. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Commanding joy. Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. He's commanding joy. Jump down to verse 5. Let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. That's not something I practice. Just confession. Singing for joy as I'm about to drift off to sleep. Looking at the word Philippians, saying Psalms. That's not good. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. This is for those of us who would say, well, maybe that's an Old Testament command. One of the ones that went away for Philippians 4, 4. Commandment. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Being happy, being joyful, being full of joy in the Lord is an essential part of obeying. Our joy is part of our obedience to God. And we read that and you say, yeah, really? Because it's hard to believe that our attitude is so important. We are so focused on our actions. I do the right thing or I don't do the right thing. The attitude, you can be grumbling all day at work, but if you do the right thing, you get paid and you don't get fired. We're so focused on doing the right thing. It almost seems like a little bit, almost hippie-ish, you know, is it so important that what our attitude is? Why would God ask for this? So let's think about it for a minute. Why would God demand joyful obedience, not just obedience? Wouldn't it be because our attitude reveals our heart, joyfulness of heart? It's even in the text in Deuteronomy, it reveals our heart. Joy is an attitude that, listen, glorifies God. That's serving God with joy shows something about God to everyone, to ourselves and everyone else who observes us. It shows that God is better than everything. It shows that he's our treasure. It shows that serving him is better than anything else that we could be doing. That what he asks from us is not a sacrifice, but a privilege. That serving without joy, it shows the opposite, doesn't it? It's like it's covering up the glory of our great Lord. It's when we serve because we have to, and we're forcing ourselves to, and we're not happy. That doesn't make God look great and valuable and wonderful and our treasure. It's and we know this is true. Life shows us it's true. If I do nice things for my wife, like, okay, it's Mother's Day, so I'm just talking about hopefully what will be happening. Cook a beautiful dinner. Thankfully, I have some boys that will help me with that. So we'll do it all together. It won't take all night. Cook a beautiful dinner. Give her a gift. Oh, I'm really excited. I found little miniature real flowers that they put in like glass or something. And then they put them on like necklaces and earrings. Anyway, I'm so excited. Not for me. I'm not going to wear, obviously. It's for my wife. But when I give her that gift, or when we're talking and we're going over, and I'm giving her all my attention and I'm into what we're talking about and we're connecting as we're talking. Okay, if I do any of those things and I'm doing it because I have to, and I'm like, it's your stupid gift. And you like your dinner? Yeah, those shrimp were expensive. Bought them at Sam's and it took me all night to cook them. And I'm thinking about what I would rather be doing. And I'm not happy as I'm doing the right things, but I'm not happy as I'm doing them. That doesn't feel very special, does it? That almost, you could imagine that maybe even having some kind of a negative impact. That wouldn't make my wife feel special or valuable. My attitude wouldn't communicate to anybody that she's important to me. When we serve God with joy, we glorify him. And when we don't, We don't. So, another question. How would it even be possible for us to obey this? How would it be possible for us to always be full of joy as we obey? Doing the right stuff is hard enough. How can we be joyful as we're doing the right stuff? That's why we're here talking about this today, because being joyful isn't necessarily our natural habitat. If you think about, you know, zoo animals, our natural habitat is to be worried and to be stressed and to be complaining, and I'm not happy about what I have to do, and I'm doing it anyway, but I'm not really, really excited about it. How can we exist outside of that habitat? How can we be joyful as we obey? Joy comes because of who we're serving. Joy comes because God is good. He is our good Father who loves us. We're in His hands, and He is our portion. God satisfies. He gives us love and purpose, and He fills us with joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It is an incredible privilege to be able to serve the Creator of the universe. The same things that might be difficult and a big sacrifice in any other context, doing them for Him, that's a privilege. That gives us joy. Also, joy comes because of what we're able to do when we serve God. His commandments are good. They're not burdensome. It truly takes us to the best life that He would have for us, both now and for all of eternity. It's when we serve God, we're able to know God. We're able to become like His Son. We're able to enter into the destiny for which He made us. And we're able to change other people's destiny when we serve God. That's what gives us joy, who we're serving and what He's asking us to do. So, last question, how do we do this? How do we serve God with joy? How do we not be like the people that Moses was prophetically saying the Israelites were going to be, that didn't serve God with joy and so were punished by God? So, confession time. You can confess. I have a microphone, so I'll confess out loud and then you join me if you would. I struggle with this. I struggle with being happy, with being joyful. I don't always serve God the way I should. And this evening when my family is there, I might get an amen at that moment. And when I do serve God, even when I do serve God, I'm not always joyful. I'm not always full of joy. Sometimes the best that I feel that I can do is just eking out obedience. And I doubt that I'm the only one who would say that if we were all speaking up right now. So how do we serve God with joy in our heart? The bad news for all of us, because God demands joy, we can't manufacture joy. We can sometimes manufacture obedience. We can't make grit our teeth and be happy. We can't produce an emotion. But the good news is we can run after it. We can seek it. We can desperately fight to get it. So how do we do that? How do we run after joy? How do we fight for joy? Hey, listen, if you're not a Christian, this is really, really important for you. Seeking true joy, lasting joy, is impossible without the Holy Spirit. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's something that He produces in God's children. And so, if you are going to seek true joy in your life, that starts by giving yourself to Jesus, repenting and being baptized. Because when you do that, you not only receive forgiveness, you receive the Spirit who will fill you with joy. It's one of His fruits. And when you say, I want that, I want to be forgiven, and I want the Spirit, I want to be full of the joy and the love of the Father, tell someone here, you can repent, you can be baptized. For those of us who are Christians, we have to focus, as we live our life this week, we have to focus not just on doing the right thing, but being happy as we're doing it. How do we fight for our joy? One, there's multiple things. One is, don't be satisfied. We can't be satisfied with just doing the right thing. We have to repent when we find ourselves obeying out of like, I got to do it. We have to repent in that moment. We have to say, I'm sorry, God, I'm not obeying You in my heart. I'm not obeying You in my attitude. My actions are, my heart isn't. We fight for our joy by asking God for joy. No matter how much I try to be happy, it comes from Him. So I ask Him, please make me happy. We fight for joy by spending time with the one who gives us joy, by reading our Bible and praying. The more time we spend with him, the more joy he gives. And we fight for joy by singing to God. You remember the Psalms we read today? How that was a thread that went through them, singing to the Lord. That we fight for our joy by singing, by worshiping God, because that fills us with joy in some inexplicable way, even when we're in the midst of hard times. We fight for our joy by being thankful, by looking around in any moment and saying, what has God given me? What can I be thankful for? Naming the blessings he's given us, thanking him that we can even serve him. We fight for joy. This is one this week, and this is going to seem really silly. This is the one that landed on me and that all week long I've just been trying to do. We fight for our joy by smiling. I know it sounds just so, I don't know, so superficial, but I tell you what, personally, maybe this says something about me. I found it extremely helpful this week. The Spirit would remind me just as I was doing stuff, just smile, smile. Didn't instantly make me happy. It was helped me fight for my joy. Laugh more. Don't repress the joy that God would naturally give. You don't make yourself laugh. You can make yourself smile. Don't make yourself laugh. That's silly. Let joy come out of you when God gives you joy. And the last thing, we fight for our joy by changing our attitude, changing the I have to do this to I can't believe I get to do this. I can't believe I get to serve God in this way. I have to change and I have to go to church and I have to stand in front of people and I get nervous. And as you can tell by my pattern at the beginning, I get nervous I get to speak the gospel to my brothers and sisters. I have to get up and go into church and sit there and try to stay awake and sing. And I get to be with my brothers and sisters. It's a get to, not a have to. I get to try to be more like Jesus and be patient and pure and honest, not a have to. We fight for our joy. And when we do that, that changes everything. When we fight for it, it doesn't guarantee that we're going to be happy all the time. It guarantees, though, that God will fill us with joy. Our obedience starts feeling like a privilege, not a burden. We start as we fight for our joy, we start serving God full of gratitude instead of feeling like I have to. God fills us with joy through his Spirit as we fight for and seek to be full of joy. That's what we should do. So we end by saying this. How is this connected with the gospel? How is serving God joyfully the way we should serve God? Listen, I think it's just a small little step. The way you and I are supposed to serve God out of joy is a very small step for the reason that the Bible says, one of the reasons it says that Jesus came to this world and suffered and died on this cross. It was in search of joy. One more verse. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. The reason Jesus came to this world on the cross, look at what Hebrews says in chapter 12, verse 2. It says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So now as we remember Jesus, we remember one who didn't just do what he had to do because he had to do it, but he, in search of joy, seeking joy, he let himself be hung on the cross and was despised and afflicted, and now is seated at the right hand of God, full of eternal joy because of what he purchased on the cross for us. In search of joy, Jesus saved us. And that's what we thank him for as we take the bread and as we take the cup. And we let his example in doing that inspire us so that we would dedicate ourselves as we go through this week to imitate him, to seek joy as we obey the Father as well. Jesus, we thank you for what you did on the cross. Thank you, God, that in search of your eternal joy, you saved us. Help us to be like you as we go through life, that we would seek to serve you joyfully and find the joy that is in serving you and knowing you. We thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.